You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
And good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chiefs fans here on Sports Daily as the Chiefs make their move in the early morning hours. It was a very interesting day. We'll dig into it all. Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester here with you. The IHOP hotline is open. Your reaction as the Chiefs add DeAndre Hopkins. You can call us at 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline where you can celebrate the weekday's new IHOP house faves. All your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. You can also leave us your video comments if you're watching us. 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, all the different ways. If you were listening to us on the Odyssey app, you're on the go that way. You can hit the little microphone and send us a voice message on what you think about that trade. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Tommy continues to bring down the vibe here on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, but that's okay. We can be party one today, and that's what we'll do. So thanks, everybody who's joined the movement, but not Tommy because he's a fun hater.
Hey, honestly, I don't do the show on Wednesdays an awful lot, and I can tell you with full honesty, I forgot. I simply forgot that it was Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Now, if I get into the routine of, you know, being on the show on Wednesdays typically, then that might change. But it's, you know, not really a regular thing, at least in my world. And so, yeah, just simply forgot.
I don't believe you. I am pulling out some old ones. I'm trying to make it as long as I can without a repeat.
How many do you own? Because I thought you maybe owned like two or three.
Oh, no. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's at least 10 or 12.
Wow.
This one, I believe this one was honeymoon a decade ago. One of my originals. It's not as, you know, vibrant, but this is straight from Hawaii. So there you go. Rick says good for you, Tommy.
Thank you, Rick. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the support.
Whatever. Fun haters. So the Chiefs make their move overnight. And it makes sense. For the third straight year now, they trade for a wide receiver midseason. And they, you know, it's been a position that has been interesting for them since Tyreek Hill left. But since Tyreek Hill left, they've won a couple Super Bowls. They can't quite get where they want to be with it. This year, though, it's probably for a very different reason. It's because of injury. They attacked the position in the offseason very aggressively. But Tommy, I maintain what I've been saying now for two or three weeks, especially this week, they had to do something. Like, I don't think you can watch the rest of the AFC shift and do what it's doing, especially watch Baltimore and the way it's really clicking and just be, you know, it's like, there's just no need to not go try to do something. And so yesterday we get all the rumors of Cooper Kupp and, you know, I think that got people excited, but that never made a lot of sense other than stylistically. Stylistically, it would have made a whole lot of sense, but he's older, he's injury prone, he's going to cost you a lot of money, and he's going to cost you a lot as far as a draft pick. That one, to me, I was like, I don't think they're going to be, and Diana Rossini's reporting this morning that they tried to get Cooper Kupp, but they couldn't get the Rams to do what they needed to do to make it work. So you go down the list and you get a player of about the same age, who's also injury prone, who's been a Pro Bowler in this league, borderline Hall of Fame player, and you hope for the best. But the reality is they don't need him to do a whole lot. They really don't need him to do more than what he's done with Tennessee with DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, it's just, is he better than Sky Moore? Check. Is he better than Mecole Hardman? Check. Is he better than Watson, as much as I like Watson? Check. Like, he instantly comes in, and if Juju misses time, is your most gifted wide receiver on the roster. They had to do something, and this didn't cost them much at all.
Well, even if Juju doesn't miss time, Hopkins comes in as the most gifted receiver on that roster automatically.
But I'm not going to sit here right now and say he's a better stylistic fit for what the Chiefs need than what Juju is, because stylistically, Juju's exactly what they need that position to do.
Look, it takes a really big man to come in on this show and say that he was wrong. And look, I was wrong. I could have easily ran away and said, look, I'm not doing the show today, or tried to explain it away. I was wrong. I didn't think Brett Veach would do anything. I've been preaching that on this program for weeks now, that don't get your hopes up, Chiefs fans. Don't get your expectations too high, because I just didn't think that it would be a move that Veach would make. I really truly believed that even if Juju missed time, that the Chiefs would lean on some of the guys that they have farther down on the depth chart, right or wrong. That's kind of what I thought that they would do. I thought that they would potentially sign one of the guys off the practice squad, whether that was Justin Ross or Remigio or somebody like that, to bring them in to get reps in the starting lineup or in the depth chart. I really truly thought that that would happen. And at the most, I thought that they would either make an inconsequential trade, or they would maybe go to free agency and try to pick somebody up off the street. And I was wrong. Brett Veach surprised me again. And I think the reason why I was so down on the idea that he would do that was because of the results of the Kadarius Toney trade a couple of years ago. And not that Mecole Hardman was bad by any means, but that was an inconsequential move ultimately too in season last year. Of course, don't forget like what those guys did to contribute.
Each contributed. That's what I was going to say.
They contributed.
They weren't as good as you'd hoped to get there. But if you look back at those Super Bowls, those are two meaningful players to the Super Bowls.
100%. But what I'm talking about is in the context of the overall season and all of that.
Right.
Both of those guys were duds when they were traded to Kansas City midseason. And so I really didn't think that Veach would want to go down that path again and give up draft capital to do so. I really, truly didn't think that that would happen. What's interesting about DeAndre Hopkins is that there's been rumblings in the past that he wanted to end up in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not an uncommon thing. A lot of wide receivers want to play with Patrick Mahomes. But that he wanted to go to Kansas City, that the Chiefs were interested. They just couldn't get it figured out. And I remember that, what was it, two off seasons ago, when there was a lot of smoke that he was ultimately going to sign with the Chiefs. But, you know, the Titans offered him the kind of money that he wanted, and so he went to Tennessee. And nobody could blame him. He's in a position now where, while he may not be in his prime anymore, he still is a valuable and productive wide receiver. There's been a decline the older that he's gotten, sure. The guy's 32 years old, but he still has quite a bit of gas left in the tank. And, you know, again, this is a really savvy move by Brett Veach. And I will sit here and admit that I was flat out wrong in what I thought Brett Veach would do.
The reality is their choice in the matter, that's like, when Juju missed the game and it's soft tissue for an older player, I think their choice in the matter just was flat taken away from them. They didn't have much of a choice but to try to do something. This is a move that's not going to cost them much money. It's not going to cost them much draft capital, a fourth round pick at worst. Tennessee, according to reports, going to eat about half of the $5.5 million left on the deal this year. But what I would say is, take more away from the fact that if you believe the reporting that the Chiefs really wanted to try to get Cooper Kupp in here, and I think that they did, and I think the reporters reporting that are very good at what they do, I think that tells you the urgency that exists for the Chiefs this year. They're not going to sit around and just say, oh, we're 6-0, everything's okay, when they can pay closer attention and realize what that 6-0 is and what's moving forward on this roster. Remember, too, it's not just the wide receiver trades that Veach has been willing to make. Frank Clark was a very risky and expensive trade that, if you look at the total body of work, he absolutely did not live up to what they gave up to get him in the contract. But he also absolutely helped them win Super Bowls. You could say the same thing about Orlando Brown. Was he the quality of player over the total body of work that they gave up what they gave up to get him? No. Did he help him win a Super Bowl? Sure he did. On a smaller scale, then, you go to Kadarius Toney, and on an even smaller scale than that, you go to Mecole Hardman last year when they brought him in. And they just, like, it's one of the things I really appreciate about the Chiefs, excuse me, is they protect what they have now. They protect the future, but they're not afraid to take risks. And they have the players and the coaches that allow the freedom to do that, right? It doesn't, they draft well enough that they can afford to give up a fourth round pick, or if it would have been a third round pick, hell, even a second round pick. Like, but they didn't want to give up the higher round picks because they know we may not be able to sign Trey Smith this offseason. Looks like they probably won't be able to, so we may have to replace him. Like, they've got a lot of moving parts there. And this move makes sense. It makes more sense to me than Cooper Kupp, for sure, at the price. Is Cooper Kupp a better player if they're both healthy than DeAndre Hopkins? Yes, he is right now.
Well, in their career, you know, Kupp is sure currently is. You know, dealing with injuries that have kept him out of games.
He is expected back this week.
Yeah, so I mean that, and there's a little bit of unknown there, you know, of exactly how productive he can be and will be, you know, if he's not 100%. I think that, you know, going back to, you mentioned Frank Clark. And you can probably lump Orlando Brown into that as well with the investment that they made at that position and with Frank Clark. I've said it before. In my mind, the difference with those was that that was the offseason. And Brett Veach, in my opinion, and I think any general manager would prefer to be on the offensive, right? Like, they would like to go out and try to make something happen in the offseason when, you know, it's not where time is not really of the essence quite as much, where your backs are not up against a wall. And I felt like with Kadarius Toney and Mecole Hardman, when those trades happened, they were like backs up against the wall, necessity, we need a wide receiver. Same thing with this year. And I just kind of thought Brett Veach didn't really want to be put in that position again. We've talked a lot about, are the Chiefs comfortable playing the way that they have been? And I think the answer is yes.
Sure.
I was just of the opinion that they thought, you know what, with as great of a defense as we have, with our running game being solid, with Isaiah Pacheco expected back in a handful of weeks or however long that is, let's roll with what we have, a bunch of tight ends and wide receivers, and we'll make it work at wide receiver. That's really what I truly thought they would do. Doesn't mean I'm down on this trade. I think it's great.
No.
When I woke up this morning, it did surprise me because that wasn't what I thought they would do.
Nobody's going to be down on this trade. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And they didn't choose for their backs to be against the wall. Their backs are against the wall. They're 6-0, but that doesn't mean that they're not. And desperate is not the right word. But their backs are against the wall.
I think proactive is a good word to use.
Yeah, you don't need to just sit still. There's no need to do that.
I will say, though, I still think that they could have won the Super Bowl without DeAndre Hopkins.
I do, right? Too. But why take the risk if you don't have to? And that's what we'll get into when we come back. I agree. I think they absolutely could have, too. I just don't think it was necessary to do it that way. We'll come back. We'll talk about the trade. What kind of fit is Hopkins? How has he been this year if you haven't been watching the Titans? All of that coming. Shreya Slaughter, our KU insider, joins us at the bottom of the hour. He's going to help look ahead to the big Sunflower Showdown this weekend, which is certainly becoming more interesting the way KU's been able to play, at least on offense, the last couple of weeks. So we'll get into that. Your calls, your comments. Lots of fun stuff coming on the show today. Whole lot more, quite frankly, on this trade, and we'll get into it all. We had Bronny last night. Were you in? Did you like it? We'll discuss it all on Sports Daily on a Wednesday. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Appreciate that, their support of the program. So the Chiefs make their move. DeAndre Hopkins in his game. Remember, he was hurt early in the year. At least he was nicked up. I think he did end up playing the first couple games, but he was hobbled. So we'll just look at the last four. He didn't do anything against Buffalo. Nothing. Or catch for negative 2 yards. But before that, he had caught 6, 2, and 4 passes. 73, 31, 54 yards. The reality is, to me, Tommy, the Chiefs really don't need him to do much more than catch 3 or 4 balls a game. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is going to come in and be the target monster that Rashi Rice / Juju Smith-Schuster light could be. Don't think that's what Hopkins is going to do, but he certainly upgrades the room in some capacity. And I think Andy Reid can work with that for sure. I also don't think the Chiefs are necessarily done. I think they probably are. But again, what I love about this, and now clearly we can see a path here, is that the Chiefs are not, they're not satisfied at just being 6-0 when you see everything else that's happening around that 6-0, all the injuries, all the things. If you can still bring in DeMarcus Robinson for basically nothing, go bring in DeMarcus Robinson, because you've got to get better than Sky Moore, right? Like, you're like, at some point, yeah, probably Juju comes back. Maybe Rashi Rice and Hollywood Brown come back. It's a good problem to have. Just if you can, why be satisfied, especially this year? And I think that's something to pay attention to before the trade deadline. Probably more likely that they're done, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. And I would bet money Brett Veach is not finished making calls. So DeAndre Hopkins is a good fit because he's more talented than a lot of the guys in the room, Tommy, but I don't think, like, stylistically he's stepping into that, getting 8 or 9 targets a game. Maybe he does, but he hadn't been that player in a very long time.
Well, see, I actually do disagree with you a little bit. I think he will be more of a target monster than what he has been over the last few years in his career, and that's because of necessity, really. I mean, there isn't another receiver, probably, I guess, on the depth chart right now outside of Justin Watson. From a wide receiver only perspective, there are, you know, obviously Travis Kelce and, you know, tight ends and that sort of thing, but that will garner the kind of targets like Xavier Worthy, I think, in an ideal world would do that. But he's still developing his game to a point where I don't think you can expect that consistently week in and week out. And one thing about DeAndre Hopkins, whether he's 32 or 24, he can not only go up and get the ball and work the sideline, but he's been probably equally as good working the middle of the field over the course of his career. And so it's not just a throw the ball up, you know, jump ball type situation with DeAndre Hopkins. He can 100% do that. He's done that throughout the course of his career. But his game is a lot more layered than that. And I think that, you know, a lot of it's going to hinge on how quickly he can get up to speed with the Chiefs offense. And we would talk about that regardless who the new receiver is, just because of a lot of the way that Andy Reid runs that offense. And just there's a lot of misdirection and moving parts and, you know, things like that. Hopkins is a pro. He's been around for a long time. He hasn't played in that system before. Might take him a minute to get up to speed on that. But I think, assuming that he can, I do think he'll be somewhat of a target monster just because of his ability to work all areas of the field.
So I'm going to just look at the last two games here. And against the 49ers, the target monster was actually Worthy. He didn't do much with it, but he had 8 targets in that game. He was the guy that sort of filled the Juju role, not effectively. Against the Saints, when you look at it, it was Juju and honestly, it was Kelce too. Remember, that was the big Kelce game.
Yeah.
But the wide receivers, and it's been this way. If you go all the way back to last year, it's sort of one of the wide receivers works in tandem with the tight ends. And I think that's what they want to do. But more than anything, what the Chiefs want to do is, we get a video yesterday of Isaiah Pacheco on the treadmill already, is they want to run the ball. And so no matter what they do here, they're leaning into their defense and they're leaning into their the strength of this team, which is the interior offensive line. And if they get Isaiah Pacheco back, they may run the ball even more because Kareem Hunt's also not just going to go away. They just don't need much. But as much as anything else, for me, especially over the last, they have to prepare for the inevitability and pay attention to the roster this year. They're just like, we're going into week 8. What are the chances there aren't more injuries right to wide receiver? So you're being proactive here, which is why I like all of this so much and why I thought they would do it. Because, yeah, you're down this many. Like, who's to say DeAndre Hopkins makes it all the way through, or Mecole Hardman, or anybody else? The way this season's going, I think you almost count more on that other guys are going to go down. So you're just giving Andy Reid more quality options to shove in there if and when that ultimately happens. That's what makes this smart. You are trying to predict the future with it. And the future is hard to predict this year without considering there are going to be more players that get hurt. I mean, they just like it's been insane how many injuries they had this year already.
Yeah, I mean, you always need to have that in the back of your mind, you know, that things can happen in a split second. But here's the thing about DeAndre Hopkins. You said he hasn't been a target monster in a long time. A year ago at Tennessee, he averaged 8 targets a game. And so he played every single game. He was a 1,000-yard receiver, had 7 touchdowns. He averaged over 8 targets a game. And so he was targeted a ton last season at age 31 with the quarterbacks that the Titans had.
He was really good last year.
Right? So it was kind of a little bit of a resurgence. Now, this year it's been different because you've gone from, you know, a combination of Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis to Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. And so it's been... Yeah, it's been a downgrade. It really got worse than what it was a year ago, and it was pretty bad a year ago. But he managed a 1,000-yard receiving campaign with Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis as the quarterbacks for the Titans, right?
I sent you a really funny tweet. Somebody, pray for DeAndre Hopkins. Goes from Will Levis to the quarterback leading the league in interceptions. You know, couldn't get any worse. I thought that was really funny. Look. If he's able to come in and supplant Juju Smith-Schuster in filling in for Rashee Rice, that's an absolute best case scenario. I mean, and it could happen for sure. He's DeAndre stinking Hopkins. Dude's a stud. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, he's really, really good. He's at the point of his career where I don't know how likely it is, but let's go. We didn't think Juju would be able to do that again. And, you know, we got a very small sample size, but he did. And the other thing for Hopkins that will be very different than Tennessee, and maybe not so much this year because they also had Calvin Ridley, but last year, right? It's you can't just hone in on him. That would be the worst mistake a defense could make, because then you've got all these other things that the Chiefs will do to you. So probably, I mean, you've got to go way back, I would imagine, to maybe never at a chance where DeAndre Hopkins gets more one-on-one type opportunities, right? He is not going to be the focal point of defenses, just like Juju wasn't. And that could also unlock him a little bit. It's a really interesting fit. I like it.
Like I said before the break, the fact that Hopkins can work the middle of the field really well, and he's done that over the course of his career. You know, I think that, you know, even with Juju on the field, and Juju has been fine this year before he got injured for Kansas City, but there were a lot of times where defenses really didn't have to pay super close attention to the middle of the field, right? They could focus in on Worthy. They could try to take care of Kelsey. When Kelsey would go to the middle of the field, that was where he was able to be successful. You can't do that quite as much when you've got Hopkins, who is so versatile and can go multiple different areas. You've got to not really necessarily hone in on him, but you have to pay attention to him for sure. And that should open up opportunities for the other guys who are out on the field. There's no doubt.
And stylistically for the Chiefs, what do they need that wide receiver to do? Pick up first downs, right? They need that. They need a chain move. That's what, again, it can become at some point by the postseason an embarrassment of riches, but they need this wide receiver right now to help them pick up first downs, to help complement their run game and their defense and those things. That's why this opportunity is so tremendous for D-Hop. We'll get more into it. I also want to look at the Cooper Kupp rumors and what that says about this franchise and what it's doing and, you know, long-term I think we can take a lot away from the Cooper Kupp situation and his role in this last 24 hours of rumors and mayhem for the Chiefs. So we'll do all that. When we come back, Sri Islatis is going to join the show as we look ahead to the Sunflower Showdown. We'll have the KU take on things when we return on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreya Slatta.
And we are back with Sri Islata joining here, our KU insider at Sports Daily. It's a Wednesday. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Chad Chambers producing. Shreyas, welcome to Sunflower Showdown Week of 2024. Certainly not what we thought it would be. However, I would say certainly closer to what we thought it would be than we thought maybe 3 weeks ago. KU's finally playing a little offense. They're still not playing the best defense, but they're playing a little offense. I got to give credit. You know, it's been an interesting discussion with Jalen Daniels and, you know, Coach Grimes and everything. I do think those two deserve some credit because they have clearly figured something out. Easily the best two performances from Daniels over the last 2 weeks. And I guess we can start there. I think their recent success at least gives K-State some pause of like, okay, we better be ready to go in this game because KU's offense is back humming a little bit.
100%. I think it's the best the offense has looked, I think, all year. The mix of the run passes looked good. Devin Neal continues to do what Devin Neal does. Jalen Daniels is not throwing the ball over, turning the ball over at a historic rate that he was on for the first five games. And the wide receivers look good. I think that's the best the wide receivers have looked all year. You know, it seems like they finally have built that connection that was so special with Jason Bean. And it was special in 2022. That is special with Jalen Daniels again. And, you know, Quintus Skinner, Lawrence Arnold, they've had breakout games back-to-back. Luke Grimm hasn't been targeted as much, but I think that's a good thing. He's spreading the ball a little bit more. He's not panicking and throwing to, you know, just one receiver. And I thought overall I was really impressed with Jalen against Houston. Obviously, Houston isn't a great team, but he made a lot of throws that were like, whoa, that's the kind of Jalen Daniels we've seen in the past. And that's the kind of Jalen Daniels that if he plays like that, he's going to be playing on Sundays.
Trace, I don't know about you, but in watching the Houston game, really to me, it started my thought process on where this team is at really started with their very first offensive drive. It was methodical. They worked their way down the field. It was a heavy dose of Devin Neal. I know that Daniel Hyshaw got the ball at one point, left with an injury, you know, came back a little bit later, and we'll talk about that later. But I really, for me, when they were able to take up a bunch of clock, get into the end zone, score right away, I thought, all right, this looks like a team coming out of the bye wanting to try to change its identity. Did you get that same sort of sense from the very start of the game?
Yeah, I think so. I think they were locked in. They were focused. They just look like a different level of football that we've seen all year from Kansas, I think. I think it kind of goes back to the offense was playing well against Arizona State. They did a lot of the same stuff they did against Arizona State. They did against Houston. They did even better. And I was just impressed. You know, it was consistent offensive production in a year that they haven't really had consistency on that end. And, you know, I think it's the best possible time for it to happen because Kansas needs to win this game for so many reasons, not just to kind of get the monkey off the back and meet their boogeyman in Kansas State, but, you know, they need to go 4-1 or better the rest of the year to make a bowl game. And, you know, it starts with this really tough stretch of games. And it starts against Kansas State. After that, they're playing BYU and Iowa State. And those games are ranked opponents, of course. I think I was looking at it. I think Henry mentioned it on Twitter today. I think KU plays the next four games as a top four of the conference, which is, you know, I think we all thought the schedule would be easier than it is. And I think, like always, it always flips around more than you think.
Well, and you know, it starts with K-State. It's going to be tough. Going into Manhattan and winning that game is going to be tough. It's interesting. I think these two teams are similar offensively in what they want to do. You know, Jalen Daniels isn't going to run it like Avery Johnson's going to run it necessarily. But I think they both want to start with the run. And I think they both like to do those things to open up, you know, the passing games. Can they do that? K-State has been defensively this year, inviting teams to throw on them and sort of making sure they don't let teams run on them. That's how BYU beat them. I wonder what KU does here. KU's not going to abandon that philosophy, right? Their offensive game plan is still going to start with Neal and Hyshaw, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because, you know, Jalen's going to have to basically play a mistake-free game against Kansas State. And, you know, let's call it what it is. Kansas State is much better than Houston and Arizona State. So I don't know if we've seen a game from Jalen against a quality opponent, you know, to the level of, you know, Kansas State this year. I mean, actually, I do know that we haven't seen it, but I mean, we haven't seen it in a long time. But, you know, I think it's going to be a big test for him. It's going to be a big test because he was throwing to the middle of the field, something he hadn't done a lot of all year against Arizona State and Houston. He was, you know, confident. He was comfortable. He looked poised. And, you know, he did things with his legs and his, you know, arm. And I think Lance Leipold said it, and I thought it was really interesting. I don't know the story about it, but Lance talked about it. He was like, I think, you know, we underestimated the amount of rust that he had even back leading up to fall camp. And you know, and I think that's kind of an egregious mistake, to be honest with you. It seems like to me they probably he wasn't quite ready as much as he should have been. And maybe – and I ask myself this, is would Kansas be sitting at a better position if they let Cole start the season a little bit instead of Jalen Daniels, let him get fully healthy and back to normal?
Going to the defense here for a second, Shreyas, you know, I know that they played Houston, right? And Houston is overall not a great offensive team. They really haven't been, you know, all season long. So there's a caveat there and a little bit of context with the opponent that they played. But I was really impressed with overall what the defense was able to do on Saturday against the Cougars, especially, I mean, you know, you can't talk about the defense without talking about Kobe Bryant and the three interceptions that he had. That is, you know, even more impressive considering that he exited the Arizona State game with an injury in the previous game before the bye week. And so coming out and being as effective as he was, and knowing that that's leading up to the Sunflower Showdown, do you anticipate the defense now trending in the right direction? Because it had been a struggle for them for a handful of weeks when they had started off the season pretty strong.
You know, I think it is trending in the right direction, but also I don't really take much stock into this Houston game. Yeah. I don't think Houston was a good enough opponent for we can sit there and say they're going to do the same thing against Kansas State to any level of ferocity. They had 5 sacks. I think they had 6 or 7 QB hurries or QB pressures. And they had 4 turnovers. I mean, 4 interceptions they caused, and 3 of them for Kobe Bryant, who had a fantastic game. I don't think Avery Johnson is going to be throwing some of the balls that the Houston QBs did. I know he's made some mistakes in the past, but he's looked better and better each week that I've seen him in the passing game. I think if Kansas walks away with 1 or 2 picks and a couple of sacks, I think that's a big, big, you know, basically it feels like that means the defense has given Kansas a chance to win the game. I really think this is going to be a fascinating game for this Kansas defense because they did a good job of stopping the run against Houston, the QB rushes. But I really don't know if they're going to be able to do that against Avery Johnson and this offensive line of Kansas State. I think it's going to be kind of the thing that probably gives them a lot of issues. And I have a feeling that Kansas is going to probably be within 10 in the fourth quarter. And Avery Johnson's like 3rd and 17, and he makes an 18, 19 yard scramble, and that's that. You know, that's kind of where I'm at with this game. And I just think Kansas basically has to play a near perfect game, and I haven't seen it from this year. So until they do it, I'm not going to sit there and say they're going to come out there.
They didn't even do it against Houston. I was, quite frankly, I was pretty annoyed with the end of the first half. Like I sat there and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. The 14 points in the second quarter. And then to their credit, they did a great job in the second half. But yeah, I agree. It's going to take a complete game. The one thing I will say is Avery Johnson, I think, is nicked up. Like he didn't run at all in the last game against West Virginia. I don't know if he's better now, but remember he left that game in Colorado, came back, then didn't run very much last week. So I don't know what his, and we'll see with Fitz tomorrow if he has any insight on how Avery's feeling as far as being a runner. But again, with KU's defense, like you can't have that second quarter against K-State. Like you can't have those letdowns like that. That was Houston. Like, we're sitting there watching them. We're like, all right, this looks great for KU. And they give up 14 points in the second quarter. And you're like, what the hell is happening? They did a great job in the second half. Are they capable of doing that for four quarters? Like, are they able to, or is that a fool's dream?
You know, we are, what, 7 games into the season, and we've seen 6 straight games where they have gotten, given up points right before the second half. I'm not a big math guy, but I do like using statistics. And the probability of them not doing that against Kansas State has got to be less than 10%. If Houston is doing that to you, I'm guessing, like, you know, until you sit there and change something, until it actually comes out there and plays. I mean, like, I thought the defense against Houston did a good job, but I really think they got bailed out by Kobe Bryant a lot of times. I really think if the Houston quarterbacks were not as bad as they were, you know, that game would have been a lot closer. I think it's not me being cynical on Kansas football. It's me being wanting to see them consistently do the things that they're doing in certain games day in, day out. The offense looks like it's turned around a little bit. But again, it's against Arizona State and Houston, so who knows? The defense has had one good game in the last 4 games. And again, it's against Houston, a team that had benched their quarterback in TCU 2 weeks ago. Then he had to come back in because their main quarterback got a hamstring injury, which, mind you, that guy had 4 passes and one of them was interception as well. You know, like, it's really hard to sit there and say, yes, this is the season that Kansas football is going to end their 15-game losing streak against Kansas State. I mean, I just don't see it. I just don't see it on the road. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, at this point, I've picked Kansas in too many games, so I'm going the other way, and I'm picking Kansas State in this one.
Yeah, you mentioned Kobe Bryant bailing out the team multiple times. Honestly, I mean, they were bailed out by the Houston quarterbacks who made a couple of terrible passes that, you know, you're not going to see, you know, typically happen in the Big 12. On that note, with the quarterbacks, I know that you and Carter Stanley talked about this in your most recent episode, I think before the Houston game, about the trend, and you talked about trends before halftime, but another trend that has really developed this season for the Jayhawks is the inability to contain quarterback runs. That's been just a really difficult part of the defense for the Jayhawks. Obviously, Houston's quarterbacks were, you know, they're not nearly as talented as the guys that they faced before. And then Avery Johnson as well. And Johnson kind of picked apart West Virginia throwing the ball through the air last week. I would imagine a lot of the game plan offensively for the Wildcats is to let Avery Johnson show off his wheels a little bit, because that's an area that the Jayhawks have struggled in. Defensively for Kansas, leading up to, you know, everything I just said, leading up to this question, do you think it's possible for Kansas to game plan a way to try to contain that better? Or should they just kind of throw their hands up and say, look, Johnson's going to get his on the ground. We've got to try to find other ways to be effective defensively. And maybe that's with Kobe Bryant and trying to, you know, again, do a great job in the secondary.
I think it's a really good question. And I think you have got to stop him from running amok. Like, if he has 100 yards on the ground, Kansas State means, like, there's like no chance Kansas wins a game like that unless, you know, he's throwing up picks left and right, which I don't think he will do. I think the big thing is, and they did a good job of this against Houston, is they cut off different angles for you know, rushing lanes for quarterbacks. If they can do that against Avery, I think that'll be huge. But Avery's just so shifty, and we've seen it. He's a run first quarterback that's learning how to pass as good as he's passed lately. And he's a young quarterback that seems to be getting better day in, day out, game in, game out. Kansas' secondary hasn't exactly been the best this year, and not in the sense of, like, you know, like, they haven't looked as good, but they just haven't been to the level they were last year. Until Kobe Bryant's kind of interception day, I felt like they weren't getting turnovers to the rate that they were previously, and the pass rush is the big reason why. The amount of pressure that Kansas is getting to quarterbacks has been pretty bad this year. And I think a lot of that goes down to they haven't really had one guy that steps up. They have a committee, but the committee hasn't been consistently stepping up to go out there and get that QB hurry and QB pressure. And Austin Booker's, you know, departure is sorely missed. I mean, you know, like, they really do miss his presence out there, because I think if he was out there, I think Kansas would be sitting at a different record than they are right now. And I think they wouldn't have some of these defensive woos we'd be talking about. an inconsistency on that end if he's out there.
It's the evening window. It's national television. It'll be a big stage for all of these great players. Shreyas, what do you guys have going for us at the KC Star?
Yeah, you know, we'll obviously have, you know, I have a press conference to go to today. I have my story coming out. I had my story yesterday that came out about Jalen and quarterback room, wide receivers. Me and Kellis will obviously have our predictions, you know, mailbag, typical stuff. It'll be a fun one. I'm excited. You know, I'm always excited for rivalry games. I don't love making the trip down to Manhattan because it's a drive from Lawrence, but it'll be a fun one. I'm excited for Saturday night, and I just hope it's a close, fun game because, you know, at this point, if they get blown out by Kansas State, their season's pretty much over. So let's see if they can come out there, put some fight in, give the Wildcats a scare.
They can spoil a lot of parties with their schedule coming up, that's for sure. Shreyas, we appreciate it. Check out his work at KC Star. Follow him on social media, our KU Insider. We'll talk again in the aftermath next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas Lotta. I'm happy that it feels like it's going to be a better game than it felt like it was going to be two or three weeks ago. KU, that is like, if I'm KU fan today, the fact that they'll get an opportunity to beat really good teams is more, I think, than we thought they might get after, let's call it, the TCU game. Like, that opportunity to get excited about games, I think, is back on the table. And I think they'll get lots of opportunities to do it. And that gives me, I don't want to say butterflies, but it certainly gives me a better feeling than it was a while ago.
I think it's important to note for Kansas, since we've been on the topic of the Jayhawks' perspective in the Sunflower Showdown, I think it's important to note their season isn't over. I mean, maybe the season that they desired and that they expected to have, but overall, their season's not done. They can still make a bowl game, right? Like, that's not – a lot of times – this point during the season in years past, they were already out of bowl contention. Right. It wasn't going to happen. They can still make a bowl. They can still finish with a winning record. I think most importantly, when it comes to this particular game, they can play spoiler to Kansas State. That's going to be motivation in and of itself.
They'll get the spoiler opportunity just about every game they play the rest of the way, which is, that's incentive. Like, if you're a fan, you're a hater at the same time. Like, you want to be a hater to the other teams. So that'll be good. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald in to talk the K-State side of things tomorrow, our K-State insider. So stay tuned for that. The IHOP hotline will be back open for you in the second hour, wide open the rest of the way. Much more on the Chiefs trade for DeAndre Hopkins. On the way out, let's give away some HTO, some free iced tea. You'll get a free iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from, sweet or unsweet, or a free iced or hot coffee. Good for all three of the Wichita Metro locations. All you got to do is text the keyword T to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Good luck, everybody. Message and data rates apply. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming right up.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app